Mike Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening and welcome. This is normally the Pei Chen Show, but I'm Vinnie White because Pei is elsewhere. She's only away for a week, so I'll do my best to cover her to the best of my abilities. You can phone the show on 416-872-1010. You can text it on 71010. 2 hours of me. What a gift. Christmas has come early, hasn't it? Happy days. What's that? They're all leaving. Oh, okay. This first hour, which is normally the Pei Chen Show, we're going to be talking two very different topics. One light, one dark. But we should learn some things along the way, I feel. My first guest is going to be talking about dating. And dating, particularly here in Toronto. She's a matchmaker and dating consultant. And that's coming up fairly soon. And then later on in the show, I want to talk about the old elephant in the room, Gomeshi. But I want to talk particularly with regard to the broader spectrum. I think it's we've all sort of pondered this ongoing, messy, horrible, sordid story for some time. And I think perhaps it's time to address the broader issues behind it, which is violence against women in general. What can be done about it? How big is this problem now it's been highlighted so enormously? And all those other questions. And for that, we'll be talking to a family therapist. And I think he's a trained psychologist. He's a jolly clever man and he knows a lot more than me. So that's coming up later. So that's the first hour. And then after that, there's another hour. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And in the other hour, I haven't quite worked it out yet, but it's probably going to be a bit of a laugh because it's a bit wintry, it's a bit bleak. There's potential floods on the way. And you don't want to get all dark and ominous on a Sunday night, so I'll probably have a bit of a laugh about some of the events in the news over the last week. So let's get this little show on the road, shall we? You're listening to Vinnie White on News Talk 1010, in for Pei Chen, and let's bring on the Toronto matchmaker, the hostess with very much the mostess, the dating consultant. Her name is Shannon Tebb. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, how are you, Vinnie?
I'm good, yeah. It's nice to see you. Shannon runs a website, which is the first point of access to tap into her plethora of services, and it's called shannyinthecity.com, shannyinthecity.com. And it says here that you're a matchmaker and a dating consultant. What does that mean?
Well, it just means that as a matchmaker, it's my job. I'm kind of referred to as the headhunter for the heart. So it's my job. A client will hire me and I'll scope out the best match for them, set them up on introduction dates, and normally those end up into solid relationships.
Mm. Normally those end up in solid relationships. That's the idea, isn't
it? Not always the case, but a good chance.
Matchmaking, dating consulting, life coaching skills when it comes to finding the right lover in your life. And it says here you're also a wing woman. What does that mean?
Oh, a wing woman is kind of like the buddy system. So say you you wanted to, you know, attend an event, but you didn't want to bring your boys. You could hire me as your wing woman and I kind of go with you as a friend. And we scope out potential interests that you would be interested in. And I help break the ice. We do like icebreakers where I would approach the woman and then slowly introduce you into the conversation.
So let's imagine that this is happening. I'll be the dashing, handsome chap. Yeah, I mean, I had to say it, but
you are handsome, Vinnie.
Thank you, dear. And I'm see, she's good, huh? Buttoned me up in a few seconds. I'm sold. So I'm floating around. Why not use the event that I went to last week, the food and wine show? I'm there. Mm-hmm. I am probably looking for a woman if I'm a young chap, and you come along with a girl. Who's hired you to be a wing woman, right? What's your opener? How do you get the whole ball rolling?
Well, normally a gentleman would hire me as a wing woman. So say you were
to
hire me.
Oh, I've got this terribly wrong.
Yeah,
I see.
Normally it's the guys that need my help. Women are kind of good. They have their own kind of woman crew that they can go out with.
Yeah.
So say you were to hire me as a wing woman. We would like enter the venue and you would kind of look around and say, you know what, Shannon, that girl over there, that's someone who I'm kind of interested in. And is there any way, you know, I can be introduced to her? So at that point, I will go approach her, you know, kind of have like a little small conversation and then you'll join into the conversation.
So what would you say to this woman?
I'll just be like, you know, why are you here? Like, this is a great event. Oh, this is my friend Vinny. He's also like into radio and whatever it may be. Try to tie a connection between you two.
It's got a 9 foot.
And then I would slowly be like, okay, I'm going to go get another drink. And I just leave you two to kind of chat amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
I would also watch your body language. Seeing how you interact, you know, what's the first thing you're going to say?
Well, by this point, I'll probably have a urine patch to deal with.
Yeah, just making sure you have good posture, you know, good eye contact. All those things are very important. And also for us going out together, when we enter the room, it's kind of like eyes are on us and, you know, your social values kind of, wow, like who's Vinny with? Oh, cool. Like she, you know, she looks like she's a decent girl. So I'd like to maybe get to know him.
Oh,
as
I
well.
See. I suppose that takes the threat away, doesn't it?
You know. And it helps relax you as well because you're not totally alone.
So at this point, I presume you don't say, this is Vinny who's paid me thousands of dollars because he can't find a woman.
No, it's totally confidential and discreet. There's no way. Yeah.
And then later on, presumably, if the... if you as Cupid have drawn back your bow and shot the arrow beautifully.
Like I may have had to go home, you know, and then I'll leave you to it. And hopefully you'll be fine on your own after my coaching.
And would I pay you for this service?
Yes, you would.
Is it expensive?
It's about $150 per hour. And I normally do like a 3-hour session.
Yeah. 3 hours of wandering around in social venues.
Well, yeah, like we would have like a pre-meeting ahead of time just to like discuss what your needs are, where you feel like you need extra work, you know, approaching or like say you need help with your attire, what to wear.
God, you must be very careful with your language because you could really offend people, couldn't you?
You know,
if you were to say to a lot of sensitive guys, listen, sweet cheeks, before I take you anywhere, you've got to sort that out.
Well, you know, it is my job as your coach to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's a little bit of tweaking that needs to happen, then I'm going to be the one to tell you. So it's only going to help you in the end. And it's all constructive. I'm not like mean saying like you look awful, blah, blah, blah. Like I make sure that it's, you know, it's going to work to your advantage.
You have the client's interest at heart, clearly.
Yes.
All right. So let's find out. First of all, have you had any successes?
Oh, yes, I have.
Have you been to any weddings that you've, in a sense, orchestrated?
No weddings yet, but I've had my client's date for at least be in a 3-year relationship.
That's all right.
Yeah, so
that's longer than a lot of Hollywood marriages already, isn't it?
Yeah, I've had my company for 4 years, so, you know, I'm still a little bit of a rookie, but I have like a good, you know, a good understanding of what men and women want and what they're looking for in relationships. So it's kind of my job to teach that to each gender.
With the plethora of web services available from Tinder to RussianBrides.com, my favorite, there's also...
Russian Brides. I don't know about that one.
Oh, that's a cracker. I just keep shipping them in. I've got 16. It's great. With so many web services available for hooking people up, whether it be a quick cheeky fling or something a little bit more sentimental and decent, it might be argued that your job isn't needed, but doesn't seem the case.
Well, essentially, my job is the most important, I think, of you know, anything to do with finding a relationship and finding love. A lot of times, by the time my clients get to me, they have tried online dating and all of those, you know, apps and Tinder and everything. And there's just the people on Tinder may not be looking for a serious relationship. Yeah. It's more of like a hookup thing.
Yeah, and of course, if they're making the same mistake over and over again, they're going to carry on making that mistake. And maybe they realize that they're making mistakes, but they just don't know what that mistake is.
Yeah, like say their profile picture is like a selfie and it's not very clear.
Mm.
Like all of those things affect like, you know, the people that are going to reach out to you and message you.
Yeah.
And it's also it's very time consuming. You know, like you're working all day and then you're on your computer all night going through all these messages and profiles.
Mm.
So by hiring a matchmaker, that alleviates the stress of having to search for love, find a date. So, yeah, there's a big need for matchmakers. It's a growing business.
And that's what you are. We're talking to Shannon Tebb. She is a matchmaking and dating consultant. She runs a website, Shanny in the City. Mm-hmm. She's a matchmaker, a dating consultant, a life coach, a wingwoman, and a jolly nice piece of stuff. And we're going to talk to you a little bit more in just a moment.
Tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio.
News Talk 1010. It's technically the Pei Chen Show, but she's a slacker. So I'm picking up the slack, yeah? Old Muggins here, working on a Sunday evening. The things I do for money. Oh, I mean love. So I'm talking to Shannon Tebb. She is a matchmaker, a dating consultant. You name it, she does it when it comes to finding a man. And I'd like, if you're a bit stuck in a quandary, you can phone in that word, if you like. On 416-872-1010, if you've got an anonymous question, or perhaps you'd like to just say, listen, I'm having a bit of a tough time. Have you got any advice for me on whatever area it is? Because the field of dating, you know, it is a nightmare. I mean, it is. A lot of people find it terribly frustrating. And you'd be aware of that, Shannon, wouldn't you?
Yes. People are really frustrated with dating. I think... because a lot of people don't really know how to date anymore, you know, especially the millennials. It's more of like a hookup culture.
Yeah, as in come around, have a quickie.
Well, as in, you know, come join me at this event at, you know, we'll watch a band. And then the girl shows up and there's like five of his buddies with her.
Yeah.
So they're not getting that one-on-one kind of intimate, quiet time to really get to know one another.
I'm going to ask you what mistakes people are making in a minute. But first of all, I've got one from my own experience when I was going through the dating mill. still haven't quite come out the other side for that matter, but we won't worry about that. And here's my advice to anyone, male or female, that's going on a date. It's quite simple. Put your phone away! Put it away! I'm here to talk to you, not watch you mess about.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best tips.
And also, don't tell stories through your phone. When I was living in Ottawa, I went on a date with a girl. She was like, so, you want to see my dog? And I'm thinking, not really, no, but okay. And then she showed me a picture of a dog. And then she goes, oh, since I'm here, I'll show you a picture of my cat. Actually, this is my car. That's my mum and dad. This was a snowstorm last year. And then I was thinking, sorry, is this a slideshow?
Slideshow of her life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in you, but not every inch.
Not the family photo
book. No, not one accidental boob shot. You'd think that would be in there, wouldn't you? Makes things a bit more spicy. So one of the things that you do, which makes the whole experience far more intimate as a matchmaking and dating consultant, you don't just stick two people together and then say, bye, all the best, I'll take the money and run. You do what's known as a follow-up session.
Yeah, it's a feedback session. So two people go on the date and then I'll call them or communicate via email and ask how their experience was while on the date. Is there anything their date could have done differently? Is there something they did that was, you know, totally off the charts or like a real deal breaker?
And what kind of thing would that be?
Well, I guess you did mention the cell phones. A lot of times now people are getting better with that, keeping them away. But I would say just, you know, not really like no eye contact, looking like they're not interested in being there, kind of zoning out, or like worrying about talking to everybody else in the room if they know somebody and not kind of like being in that situation and giving their full attention. Also, not showing up like in the best attire. So looking frumpy and not putting much effort in.
So if you could get this report, do you speak to both parties?
Yeah, I speak to the male and female.
So you'll say, right, John, Debbie thought you could have made more effort with your coat.
And yes.
Debbie, I've got to say, when you pulled out your phone five times, John was a bit upset about it.
Yeah, you looked uninterested.
There's probably a sort of human characteristic in us all to be very defensive about stuff like this. A lot of people are quite sensitive to any criticism. Mm-hmm. So do you have to deal with people saying, well, I had to check my phone. Well, I think I look quite good, actually.
Yeah, but as their coach, they kind of do listen to what I'm telling them and they appreciate the feedback. So I'll say it in a nice way, like, you know, maybe next time try this approach, or next time like unbutton your suit jacket so it's not so fitted, or,
yeah,
you know,
put
make
your nipples
sure you
away.
Show up like maybe 10 minutes earlier because you were late on the date, like so that you don't have that punctuality problem, or, you know, make sure that you do have the plan set or a backup plan. Like if you're planning a picnic in the summer, make sure you have like a backup plan if the weather's bad. Right.
Right.
So being organized, being ahead of the game, because women love a man with a plan.
Do they?
Oh, yes.
But don't you also like men that are happy to fly by the seat of their pants? You want it all.
Yeah, but in the beginning, it's like I feel like you need to have that plan because I don't know if you are that spontaneous kind of carefree character. Mm. So in the beginning, you do need the plans. And then I think once you're more in like a, you know, a comfortable relationship or you've been dating a few times, then it can be more carefree and spontaneous.
Maybe you can help everyone listening to News Talk 1010 by explaining what probably the most common mistakes that people are making on the internet. When you give feedback, what's the one that you're kind of a bit bored of saying?
Well, I think sometimes people forget to send a follow-up call or text message the next day thanking their date. Mm. So having an attitude of gratitude, a lot of people don't even say, you know, thank you for the night, I had a great time. So if they're not so interested, they'll just kind of like forget about the whole thing and not have a follow-up, like an exit kind of text or something like that. I always recommend that to my clients. So it's very important that you say thank you for the date. Even if you weren't kind of, you know, swept off your feet, you still want to show that you're grateful for the date and you had a good time. And yeah, so that's one of the major things that I remind people.
If you're listening to this thinking, oh, I wish I could get a bit of free advice, now's your chance, because normally old Channy Pops is
normally I charge $125 per hour.
And I hope that bill's not coming out on me later, baby. but you can call in on 416-872-1010. Stick your headphones on for a sec, because we've got a caller actually called Rob. Let's put Rob on now. Where's my phone gone? Oh, it's over there. Can you put him through, because I can't reach the phone? What do you think I am, Mr. Tickle from the Mr. Men? It's miles away.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, hi, Rob. Just my phone is on the other side of the building, but thanks to the producer, everything's squared away. Rob, ask your question to Shannon Tebb, the lifestyle coach and matchmaker dating consultant.
Well, I probably got the most unusual question you'll be asked tonight. I'm in incredibly good shape.
Okay.
I'm heading up to 60 years old, and most people put me about mid to late 30s.
And
wow. I'm just wondering, I meet some nice young lady who's in her late 20s. Should I start telling her my exact age and all the chronological stuff, or just wait to see how it goes on? Because I don't want her to suddenly be shocked to find out that she's with somebody who's maybe 60. Older than her parents.
Yeah, I would definitely tell her if it does escalate to, you know, you guys exchanging numbers and maybe going on a date.
That's already happened, yes.
Okay, I would definitely tell her that, be honest with her and let her know your age for sure. Because that might be hard for her if you guys do like each other to bring you home to mom and dad.
But Rob's probably, Rob, are you a bit worried that she'll run away?
I was worried that she would screaming up the hillsides away because a guy that she thought she could have gone to school with is somebody who could have been a babysitter when she was a young girl.
Another approach that you could do is maybe have a conversation about age. So you could say, like, you know, what's the oldest age of a person that you would date? And let her answer that. And
what happens if she says, oh, I definitely wouldn't go more than 52?
And if she does say, I wouldn't go over 50?
Good question, yep.
Yeah, if she does say I wouldn't go over 50, then at that time you be honest with her and say, well, you know, I do kind of look young for my age, but I am 60 and I need to bring this to your attention. And how do you feel about that? And let her respond.
Pretty good answers, guys. It's kind of, things are a little bit in the mist here, but thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks, Rob. All the best, mate.
My pleasure.
You
good
too.
Luck, Rob.
Bye.
And if she's listening to Rob, can I just say, I think Rob is a fine, upstanding, beautiful man.
Yeah.
And you should hang by him because he will look after you and keep you warm on those cold winter nights. So don't worry about his age. He's a young whippersnapper at heart. And I think he was born in England from that slight inflection on his accent. So therefore, he's obviously perfect.
Yes.
And that's a fact. Thanks, Rob. If you've got any questions on your dating love life, matchmaker and dating consultant that would normally charge you $150-odd an hour is right here. So get on the blower, 416-872-1010. Or you can also text your questions to 71010 as well, which is always a bit more anonymous should you feel the need. So we've talked about the follow-up sessions. We've talked about the fact that people do make mistakes and you try to rectify those. The fact is that some people need chemistry. Like, I think we've all been on a date where you think, I don't know what it is. She was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
She was eloquent. She was intelligent. But for some reason, the old fireworks weren't firing. Is there anything you can actually do to change that?
Well, one thing with my service as a matchmaker, I actually swap profile photos. So I do show my clients the photos ahead of time where, you know, some matchmakers don't feel the need to do that. They rather just set up more of a blind date. So I think it's really important that my clients know who they're in front of, know who they're seeing so that, you know, it's a yes. And I guess what they can do to make sure they're looking their best is, yeah, like, you know, put on their most comfortable outfit that's classy, sexy, not too revealing. But
Heels?
Yeah, heels are nice. Oh, yeah. Pencil skirt. You know, if you have great legs, of course, wear a skirt.
Are you talking to the men?
Men, no, they don't need to wear skirts.
Okay.
The guys, I would say, yeah, make sure, like, even you have, like, if you do want a more casual look, make sure you have a nice pair of jeans on, a nice blazer, like a cool shirt underneath. You want to look fresh. You want to look like you put a bit of an effort in as well and not just rolled out of bed. And also hygiene. Make sure you smell nice. Make sure you...
You're a fan of aftershave and stuff.
I like cologne, but not, you know, a lot of people have, you know, allergies and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would go light on the cologne.
Not too whiffy.
No, not too overpowering. But and also make sure you have your deodorant on. And yeah, you just want to smell nice. And like mints, you know, you want to stay fresh.
Now, this is all very well, but there is a danger that you give people all this advice and they go in and they act perfectly on your advice. And then afterwards, of course, date three or four, they revert to their normal characteristics, as we all kind of do. Mm-hmm. And they think, hang on a minute, this guy's not making the effort. He's already started dropping air biscuits and things aren't going my way. can you keep, like, almost as a marriage guidance counselor in a sense, can you keep an eye on things as it develops?
Well, yes. Normally, like, my clients that hire me more for the dating consulting versus the matchmaking, I do meet with them on a weekly basis or bi-weekly just to make sure that they are keeping up on, like, the new style tips I've given them or the dating etiquette to follow. I think as their coach, it's my job to kind of follow up with them and just check in and see how the dating's going. I had one client who, you know, the simple thing from changing his sideburns and, like, you know, I took him shopping one day and that was just an amazing experience for him. Like, women started looking at him, he started getting attention, and he said, you know, thank you so much, Shannon, like, I feel like a new man. And it was just like the little simple tweaking that I did.
Must be so rewarding to hear.
Yeah,
that.
It's, you know, and that's what makes me love what I do.
Yeah.
It's very, that's why I'm very passionate.
And as we speak, about 500,000 Torontonians are shaving off their sideburns.
No, just not huge, big Elvis ones.
We've got a great question from Michael in Toronto, but we'll take that in just a moment.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
It is. Well, I mean, it sort of is. It has become that way. It's technically the Pei Chen Show, but she's not here. So I'm doing it for her. Always a pleasure. Never a chore, I tells you. You can call the show on 416-872-1010. You might want to do that if you're having perhaps a little difficulty with the social dilemma that is modern-day dating. Matchmaker and dating consultant Shannon Tebb is here. She runs a great website called Shanny in the City. Shannyinthecity.com is where you can go and find out more and indeed hook up for matchmaking, dating consulting, life coaching and just being a winger, a wing woman. Your calls are coming in thick and fast. Let's take another one. Michael in Toronto, your question, please.
Good evening, folks. Thanks for taking my call.
Good evening.
Hi, Michael.
I'm a single guy in my mid-30s, and I think it's fair to call myself a little bit shy, but I don't think I'm completely socially inept. And I'd like to describe a social situation to you that I find myself in a lot, and I feel frustrated and intimidated every time I'm in it. So the scenario is I'm in a bar or at a club or at some sort of event alone, and there are a group of three or four women, and I'm interested in one of them, and that's where the dilemma is, that I find it that, you know, approaching them one on four is intimidating. I'm afraid they'll ridicule me, or they've got that sort of security net amongst themselves, and I can never seem to quite get past that barrier. So I'm wondering if there's any tips or tricks you can give me how to sort of get through that situation.
Well, I would suggest, are you going out by yourself, or are you with a friend when you...
Typically alone, sometimes with a friend, usually a male friend.
Okay, so if you're with a friend, it's nice to kind of go over together and speak to all the women. Like, introduce yourself to each one of them so you're not kind of just targeting, like, the bullseye, right? You want to kind of ease into the conversation. So I would suggest, you know, going over to the ladies, you know, asking them, you know, how are they doing? Maybe comment on what they're drinking. If it's wine, ask them, you know, what grape is it, why they're at the venue, you know, just kind of basic conversation, and just be yourself. But you also want to show that you're interested. So I would say with your body language, like kind of directing your body, like staying open towards the woman that you are interested in, making a point of talking to her more than the others, and asking her maybe if she'd like a drink. I know that sounds cheesy, like, you know, nobody wants to always say, hey, can I buy you a drink? But it is still like a gentleman thing to do. And I mean, I still say that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that if the woman's been talking to you for at least, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Well, about if Michael's on his own, as it may be the case. Maybe he's gone out for with a buddy.
Okay.
And in your 30s, you find that a lot of the buddies you go out with have to go back to their wives.
Well, I think Michael needs a wingwoman. He needs me.
Ah! Right.
No, but Michael, if you are alone, I would suggest, like, just kind of waiting till the group kind of breaks up. You know, if she's going to the bar by herself to order another drink, that's your cue to kind of go in for the kill and, you know, stand next to her, you know, just maybe comment on, wow, that's like a great color you're wearing, or, you know, I did notice you and I just wanted to say hello.
That's quite good. I did notice it. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi.
Because there's nothing, like, you can't really be offended by that.
Like,
you
caught my eye. I just wanted to say hello. Like, you know, you don't need to say, oh, you're attractive, you're gorgeous, you're this, because that's too personal. But maybe just comment on, wow, like, you have a really good energy, or, yeah, you seem like you have a good person. Yeah, I like to comment on the personality, you know, what, you know, their smile, that you look really friendly, that type of stuff. Does that help at all, Michael?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your answer.
And if you ever do need, you know, a wing woman, feel free to go on my website. Because you're still at that good age where you have a lot of potential ahead of you for love.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
See you later, Michael. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I tell you what, she's just knocking them over like Skittles. Look at that. Leaving men happy, I hope, in her wake. Shani in the City, you've been fantastic. We've got to move on to our next bit. I want to thank you very much for coming in. As she said there, if you want any help and guidance, I'm sure you give a free consultation, don't you? You're not going to charge anyone for just getting the very first bit of advice.
Well, normally we can have a chat on the phone, and then when I do the consultation, we start the matchmaking process. But normally when I meet you in person, it is an hourly fee. But I'm open to responding through emails or calls.
Okay.
You can email me directly at date@shaniinthecity.com. And I'm also, you know, I know students and stuff like that have a budget and stuff. So I'm pretty reasonable at, you know, finding a good rate for them as well. I've been getting a lot of millennials contacting me for dating advice.
Oh, it's going to carry on. I'll tell
you
that.
Yes.
And whether you use Shani or not, I mean, it's not just a blatant bit of publicity. I would like to say, if you don't use her and go on your quest on your own, good luck, buddy. Whether you're male or female, it's a bit of a jungle out there. Keep bashing on. And such is life. You'll probably give up and then meet the right one after that. Seems to be the case for most people.
Practice makes perfect, right?
Yes, in every possible department. Thank you very much, Shani in the City. If you want any more information, anyone, go to shaniinthecity.com. Cheers.
Thanks so much, Vinny.
So the next thing we're going to talk about is quite a jump in mood, but it's something that has become increasingly talked about as a result of our rather stunning, let's be honest, the story of Jean Gomeshi. And I want to use it as a sort of springboard, really, to talk about the broader picture, which is violence against women in the modern world. You know, it's not a topic that you can make light, and we're not going to try and do that. But we are going to get some headstrong advice on what's happening and what we can do to hopefully eradicate these ongoing problems that I think have always been with us, but have suddenly become much more noticeable through social media. So we're going to talk to a family therapist and I think, is he a psychologist? No? I can't hear. What is he? Social worker. Good. Okay. It's good to get your research done. That's what I say. Social worker and family therapist and a bit of an expert on these matters as we come back. First up, quick break on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Vinnie White in for Pei Chen on News Talk Tay 10 to New Dibba-Dibba-Dibba-Doo-Da. So let's go with this then. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster since Jean Gomeshi's name popped up in a slightly different context to it usually being, you know, this nice guy that seems very much a family figure. And we all know what's happened, so let's just speed through it and then sort of attack some of the reasoning, logic and perhaps numbers behind it. After several women came forward in the press with allegations of violent encounters with the former CBC host Gian Gomeshi, some have been asking why women haven't reported their allegations to the police. Now, only two of the nine or more women who have come forward have offered to give their names and to detail what's happened. Now, the rest refused to reveal their names to the public, understandably, citing fear that they would possibly be sued or they would become the object of internet retaliation or, you know, just because they don't want to have to think about it every few minutes. There's a multitude of reasons why you wouldn't put your name forward. But some have. The Canadian actress Lucie Ducoutre has said she didn't go to the police because she believed the case would come down to his word against hers. Whereas the couple that have come forward feel, obviously, that it's very important for justice to be done, if justice will be done. But as it started a conversation across North America, really, about sexual assaults and violence against women, I thought it'd be a good idea to sort of attack this subject and work out if it's as bad as we think. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, because obviously it's terrible and I don't wish for a minute to say anything otherwise. But I'm joined by Claude Millet, and he's a family therapist and a social worker. And when I say as bad as we think, here's what I'm trying to say. It has become apparent that there are a massive amount of unreported sexual assaults in Canada every year. And I guess my question is this. Has this always been the case? And now through the social media channels and perhaps the fact that it's become more encouraged to come out and report on these incidents, that it would appear at least that there is more of these incidents than ever before. So are things getting worse, is my ultimate question. Thoughts on that?
Well, I've been a family therapist for 25 years. So I remember in the 70s where this was a big issue. A lot of social services were providing support groups. There were WENDO classes. So the emphasis was on helping women find ways of physically defending themselves. Rape crisis centers were popping up. There was a lot more. So back then, there was a huge emphasis on that, and it was really the era of feminism. And somewhere along the way, feminism got a bad name. So I started hearing more and more men and women talk against feminism in the course of therapy sessions. And so I think the numbers are pretty well the same as what they were in the 70s. Mm. So today we're talking 1 in 4 women or 1 in 3, depending on which statistics we're looking at.
Mm.
And I don't think that's really changed.
And is that talking about the amount of women that have suffered a sexual assault?
That's talking about, yeah.
Mm. The conviction rates, regardless of your beliefs on the numbers of how many are happening, the conviction rates are unarguably horrific. It would appear that for every 1,000 sexual assaults in Canada, 33 are reported to the police, 29 are recorded as a crime, 12 have charges laid, 6 are prosecuted, and thereby 3 lead to conviction. So you could make the argument that 997 out of 1,000 assailants are walking free. Now, these numbers are very easy to contest, but if there's a grain of truth in that, isn't that petrifying?
Well, it is. You know, most social workers actually hear the stories on it on almost a daily basis. So I would say 80% of the women that I've seen in my practice, whether they're coming in for issues related to violence or other things,
mm.
Along the course of the therapy, will report that they've had a sexual assault or a physical assault along their lifetime. So mm-hmm. even women that are coming in with marital issues, if I were to see them individually, will often report that when they were 16, when they were 18, when they were 21, something happened.
Mm.
And a lot of them won't tell their husbands because not always clear that he would understand or that. I guess part of what ends up happening, and I think that's what we saw in the current thing, is that women have been empowered to talk about it a lot more.
Mm.
But generally, women live with this as a secret. Men don't usually walk around the streets of Toronto wondering, is this a safe neighborhood? When I moved the family therapy center from College and Yonge, and I was looking for new office space about 15 years ago, my wife would come to the various sites that we were looking at and say, no, this isn't safe. You're not going to have, because I see a lot of women in the evening. She would say, women are not going to feel safe coming to this part of town or coming to this particular street.
Mm. And if they need to feel safe anyway, they certainly need to feel safe when they're getting therapy.
It was actually the first time that I recognized that I never have that consideration. I don't walk around in the evening wondering whether I should feel safe or not. The other thing for me that the Gian Gomeshi thing brought out is it would be dangerous for us to demonize him and say he's a psychopath and it's only those kinds of guys that do this, because generally the literature suggests that it's a known quantity that does. So, you know, we have the vision of the rapist that had caught somebody on the street, but it's very often the babysitter. It's very often the friend in. There was a case in the paper today in the Toronto Star about a case at Lakehead, and it was a young woman who was going to study with a friend. He said, "Walk in the house," and then I'm not ready. She walked in and he raped her. So it's often. I've heard stories with grandfathers.
Mm.
I've heard stories with doctors groping their patients. I've heard stories of lawyers. I've heard stories of elders in the church of every denomination. So we like to create this image that it can only happen in those other circumstances.
We probably do that because it's quite comforting, isn't it? You don't want to face the possibility that people in your life that you give a great deal of trust and respect to could do what is one of the most barbaric and awful things that a human could do. No one wants to believe that. And I think that one of the reasons that this whole thing was so shocking is here's a public figure that's not some sordid looking old guy.
Yeah. So attractive to everybody.
Totally. And, you know, working a lot within the community. What a position of trust that is. And
I think that's one of the issues. And what happens to a lot of women, they're in shock initially because it is somebody that's known, and they wonder, how could this happen? Nobody sets it up. Nobody creates a situation where this could happen.
Yeah.
So even women that go out on a Saturday night and they're all dressed up and they're looking for someone to have a good evening with, don't assume that this could happen, right? So even though they're going out maybe to have sex, but it essentially they still have a right to have a choice and decide. And if they do have an evening where they haven't found somebody that they're comfortable with, then they should be able to walk home and not just get attacked by anybody.
Mm. I was talking to Claude Millet. He's a family therapist and social worker. And earlier on, you were talking about how a lot of women that you've worked with over the years have had sexual attacks or rape in their past, sometimes a distant past. And you said also that some of them, quite a lot of them, in fact, don't tell their husbands. As a counsellor, do you advise them to change that?
It really depends on the situation and... Mm. Some of them have assessed situation right. Some of them have husbands that would not necessarily understand, and it might. And different people deal with this differently. The impact is usually it's not the same for everybody. So, but it's pretty long lasting. So what I advise people is to sort of I help them through the process of deciding what they want to do with this.
Right. And maybe they feel the burden is something they want to release. And so
absolutely.
Yeah.
And if their sex life is affected, then obviously it's important for the partner to be involved in some way. A lot of young women won't tell their families because their families are not necessarily supportive. It's not uncommon for families with 17-year-olds to sort of thrown back in their face if they've had a rebellion.
You were out. You were drinking. It was 2 a.m. What did you think was going to happen?
That's right.
Well, not that, because that's a vile and a criminal act that I didn't expect and shouldn't expect.
You know, and a 17-year-old boy going out during the evening till 2 a.m. doesn't get raped.
Yeah.
And there's no expectation that that might even happen. So it's a tough situation. So there's two places where, for women, it's actually very difficult. One is the actual event itself. And the second event, which is what the media response was about, is the fact that when you tell somebody that you thought would be protective, whether it's your mom, your dad, your boss, and you perceive this person to be supportive of you, and you discover that they just want you to shut up and shut it down. It's pretty scary, because in situations where you have a supportive family and we go the next step and things happen properly, then that person has a bit of a sense of not resolution, but it's easier. Whereas when you have the feeling, I'll never be able to trust my peers or my family again, then it's a larger issue. It's not just about that event. It's about what it says about my society. And clearly, from the fallout that's happened, the commons don't have a policy. Universities don't have policy to support female students, most of them. So we live in a culture where women are not protected in these kinds of events.
And I think what we always like to think of ourselves in Canada is a country that absolutely isn't like that. And we often look at, you know, the events of that mass rape in India some years ago and say, you know, how barbaric that culture is. But sometimes we forget that actually it exists here as well.
It exists here as well. And we have different forms of pressure that are different in there. So we can consider the forms of pressure that exist there as being more barbaric. But we have variations that are much more subtle.
As a family therapist and social worker, are you pleased to see hashtags like being raped, never reported, hashtags and various social media campaigns where people are releasing this burden that they've lived with? Do you think that's a healthy thing?
I think that's a healthy thing. I think we have progressed. If we were to talk 20 years ago, one of the biggest barriers back then was talking to the police. And I think that the police in the last 20 years have improved greatly in their in their ability to respond to these situations, understand them, and give the victim a sense of being protected.
But clearly a long way to go.
But I think that the place that we're stuck is the legal system. And as long as the legal system has a proactive, we will almost on a level of the defense will demonize the victim as though they're the one that's at fault here, then we can't really say we're protecting some of these women. What's interesting is that Lakehead is now instituting a policy that doesn't require that the legal course be fulfilled. You know, so that takes a long time. They don't need to have complete proof. They have decided believability of the victim is enough, and they will protect them. And I think that's the direction we need to go more and more.
Chloe Millet, I wish we had a bit more time. Family therapist and social worker, thank you so much for coming in. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you.
Looks like we're going to take a bit of newsy-poos, and then I'll come back with my regular show. A whole hour to go? How could this be? You're listening to News Talk 1010. Time for the news.
White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I went to a jazz bar last night. I think it's had an effect on me. The Orbit Room. Funky! It's good, it's on college. Had to pay to get in. Used to be a celebrity, used to not have to pay for stuff like that. Not anymore, kids. But it was fun. Oh, I haven't told you anything of what you're listening to. How terribly unprofessional. Unlike me. My name's Vinnie White. You're listening to News Talk 1010. This show is on for an hour. It's the Vinnie White Show. Could have come up with a slightly more imaginative name. It's like Toronto's Entertainment District. Come on. Call it something that's just a bit cool. Oh, I need to get entertained. Should we go to the Entertainment District? Oh, I was thinking about eating. Should we go to the Food District? And so there you go. The show is all about stuff and things that have happened this week to me and the world. And stuff that might be about to happen, including some floods. So we're going to talk weather a little bit later. But don't worry, don't tune out. It's not very boring. It'll be quite fun. We'll talk to Russ Courtney. He's our reporter, the man on the ground. I think he's in Buffalo, where it's wet. And it's about to get a lot wetter. And we've got to put up with some of that as well, apparently. I'm sure we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Do you remember the ice storm? Yeah, that was bad. This is just wet. I'm British. I can handle it. If you want to phone the show on anything, you can. 41. I mean, so I say anything. Don't, like, you know, talk about the deconstruction of the rainforest. Terribly depressing. Try and keep it a little bit light. 416-872-1010. Oh, and also, don't talk about Kardashian's ass. You know why? Don't care. Don't care. I actually nearly did a bit on it tonight. And then I thought, by doing a bit on how much I don't care about her ass or anything connected to her ass, not physically, it would mean that I was talking about it, which I don't want to do, which I appear to be doing, so I'm going to stop now. No arses! Apart from the one that's doing this live broadcast. You can text the show on 71010 as well. Well done. Their technology. We like that. I had dinner with probably the most annoying person I've ever met this week. I don't know if I could have gotten more annoyed. It was a work thing. So I run this business, MrPhotoCanvas.com. MrPhotoCanvas.com. Do you need a Christmas present? Then, you know, pop down Sears and get some pans. Or use MrPhotoCanvas.com. Don't get pans. It sends a terrible message. I mean, unless, like, who you're buying from really likes cooking. But I always, it's a bit dangerous buying a female cookingware. Because it sort of pushes the stereotype. So why not buy a canvas? Anyway, I was doing some business. I've got a couple of big jobs on, and I had to have a meeting about expanding this business. It's all terribly boring, so I won't bore you about it. But it meant that some of the people that I was meeting, just sort of loosely business, it was in a restaurant, it was in the evening, were coming, and we were going to talk about how to expand the business next year and stuff. Yeah, great. And there was one woman who was sort of mildly connected to it, and she turned up first in the restaurant. Now, it was the day when it snowed, and the fantastic, well-planned, ready-for-action city of Toronto was, as always, slightly surprised that it snowed in Canada. I didn't know that happened. Well, it did it during a rush hour. That's a bit cheeky, hmm? That snow showed no consideration. So the people that I was meeting were late. But she arrived actually probably just, like 5 minutes late. And the other people didn't arrive for ages. So I stuck with Captain Annoying. And I'm sure she feels the same about me. But I tell you why she annoyed me. It's because when she rocked up, she was about 5 minutes late. And she said this, "Isn't it awesome that I'm only 5 minutes late?" And I went, "Yeah, it's great." And how did the audition for Clueless go? And she said, "Isn't it awesome? Like, am I here right now? It's awesome. Like, totally." I went, "Yes, no, it's great. Well done." She goes, "Thing is, it's all about, like, positive thinking, really, you know? Like, you know what I mean?" And I went, "No, I don't know what you mean. I have absolutely no idea." And started drinking heavily, as of course you would. And she said this, "Well, the thing is, like, I was coming from Hamilton and I had to go along, like, the gardener or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so messed up, right? Because of the snow and stuff." And I went, "Yes, brilliant." Obviously resisting the urge to kill myself. And she said, "Yeah, like, I was nearly there. And, like, I looked at my GPS and it said it was going to be like 20 minutes. So..." How many people can I offend? Don't worry, it's just her. This isn't my generic Canadian. It's just a terrible impersonation. And it was going to be like 20 minutes. And I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to be late for this thing. And it's, like, really important." I'm like, not really, but yeah. So I just thought, I was like, I'm just going to think that it's going to be awesome and I'm going to be there on time. It's going to be awesome. You know what I mean? And I went, no, not really. And she said, and when I did it, I was like, I was thinking really hard, like everything's going to be okay and I won't be late. And I looked at my GPS and it like totally rerouted. All right, fine. Didn't know you're American. Okay. Good. Well, that's great. So she said, she concludes, so like, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. I don't really understand what the question is. And she said, well, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like the power of positive thought. Like I looked at it and I thought positively and it totally like it rerouted and I went along Lakeshore and it was awesome. And now I'm here. And I said, but that's the job of a GPS. That's what GPSs do, particularly now. They're web savvy. They're connected. They can see where the congestion is and they reroute accordingly because they're tracking your progress. That's not positive thinking. That's buying a thing and using it. And she said, yeah, but it's not though, is it, really? Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you could also say power of positive thought meant that your car didn't break down and you didn't get involved in a crash. But it's probably more likely that you just drove with reasonable care and caution and got there, as most journeys do, thankfully. And then she said, oh, if you don't believe it, I've got evidence. And I said, right, okay. Because I've got, as you know, somewhat patronising, condescending tone, but a very scientific mind. I don't believe in anything unless there's evidence. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in God. I have absolutely no belief in anything. I live a very rich and joyful life, and I'm very happy about my scientific mind. It's not like I'm missing out on a thing. I'm well-travelled. I'm pretty groovy. I like a giggle. You know what? I have a cheeky beer every now and then. Shoot me. I'm happy with that. That's all right. But if you're gonna suggest anything to me, I have to have evidence, as I think should be the way across the world. Wouldn't it be great? I'm going to blow myself up because Alice said it was a good idea. Got any evidence? It's sort of in a book. I mean, it's open to massive interpretation and language barriers, but sort of. Then it's not evidence. Wouldn't it be great if everyone worked a bit more like me? And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying science is really good. And the theory of evolution isn't a theory. It's fact. It used to be a theory when it was called the theory of evolution. And now it's fact. So let's investigate it further. And if there's a few gaps in the timeline, I'm sure working in the scientific communities across the world, we can patch it all up. Science is great. So she said this. Well, like, it was years ago and I was driving along and like it was snowing and I was a bit drunk and I'm thinking, right, weird that you've come this far. Like, I don't know if you think I'm going to think you're great. Yeah, I was driving along and I was a bit drunk and like, I would just had an argument. I was doing like 130 and 100 and I hit black ice. And I'm like, my God. So, I mean, just look at the factors. She was drunk. She was doing 130 and 100 and she hit black ice. I mean, whoa. Obviously, completely and utterly stupid and there's no question about it. But it's amazing that she was sat here some years later telling me this. And she said, well, I can prove that power of positive thought happened because like, my car was upside down and I was wondering if it was leaking fluid, but because I had my seatbelt on, I was all right. And I was like hanging upside down and I got out of the car and it was like really dark and really cold. And I was okay. Cause I just thought that, you know, I'm going to be okay. And I was okay. And I'm like, sorry, is that supposed to be evidence? Cause that's just the witterings of a nutter to me. Like that's, I'm very pleased for you. Although you are a complete imbecile for driving drunk in the first instance, never mind breaking the speed limit and doing it in snow and putting other people's lives in danger, you stupid cow. But I'm very pleased you're alive because I wish death on anyone. And she's like, yeah, but it's just proof, isn't it? No! It's not proof! And I found myself, and I've never done this before, I found myself going to the toilet even though I didn't need it. I just went down there and just just hung out and played with my phone so I could not be with her. It was the most frustrating person I've ever met. When my friends turn up, I'm like, hi, can you sit here? Oh, I think you want to move along, don't you, love? You want to move along a little bit. So that was that. I did check, by the way. She doesn't listen to the radio. In fact, she actually said, I don't have a radio, and then said, I wouldn't know how to tune on in the radio. And when I said, well, you can get radio online, she said, yeah, I don't really understand that. As if it was witchcraft. So Yeah, I'm glad that's over. That was my midweek experience. Oh, so it wasn't a date, but it kind of felt like one because it was me and a girl and I hated every minute of it. So I'm just a quick brief shout out to anyone that's been on a date recently that didn't go well. I feel for you. Right. Country music. What? Country music? I used to work for a station in Ottawa. I actually lived in Ottawa for 6 years, as you can tell from my Ottawa Valley accent. And I moved here to Toronto a couple of years ago and got this gig on News Talk 1010. But my radio background is in music radio. And I used to work for a Bell station called Bob FM. And some of the listeners to Bob FM followed me here, which I feel very, very humble about. Thank you. So if you're an old Bob listener that has followed me, as I was cast off some years ago through perfectly reasonable channels. Thank you for listening. But I was quite stunned, actually, when I got a text saying that Bob FM died. They killed it. And they turned it into a new radio station, which is quite often the case in Canadian radio in the FM dial. You know, if a format isn't doing well or perhaps it's past its sell-by date in a sense, then you flip format. So it's perfectly reasonable and normal thing to be doing. We've all had that where you think, oh, I'm going to turn in that hip-hop station and all of a sudden it's French rock. Actually, probably not, but probably the other way around. And so they flipped format and there was a couple of days of speculation when it was like, oh, what's it going to be? Now, it's not really particularly involved in Toronto life, but if you live in Ottawa and you listen to a lot of FM radio, there was a lot of, oh, what's it going to be? Now, I thought that they would do, you know, pop hits and Iggy Azalea or whatever the cool kids are listening to nowadays, which I lost touch with some time ago. But I was sort of stunned, actually, when it went country. Yes. And having done some investigation, do you know country is becoming more popular? And I'm not talking about the good old stuff, you know, your Johnny Cash. I love a bit of Johnny, don't you get me wrong. I'm talking about new country. And so the Ottawa radio station that I used to work for, it was a sort of 80s format. So I don't suppose we should be that surprised that they flip format because, well, you can't have the 80s forever. I think we dragged it out for long enough, didn't we? The diehard Bob FM listeners, though, were just distraught. No more Summer of 69! Oh, no, I loved hearing that every four and a half minutes for eternity. Oh, no more Trooper! Oh. But it went country, and, yeah, I was surprised. So, is that all right? Is country music all right? I've started doing some investigation into it. And I've realised that you can break down new country, which is what this stuff is, into simple parts. So if you're a country listener or if you're an alien and you don't understand country, perhaps a little bit like me, if you play country music in the UK, they're like, what on earth are they singing about? Why are they so depressed? And why are they so obsessed with trucks? So I didn't really grow up with it, so I don't really connect to it whatsoever. And I don't own a hat or a horse or a metal one. So I have absolutely no understanding of country music. But I did spend a bit of time listening to Ottawa's new country, 93.9. Because I was sort of infatuated as to the old radio station I used to work for, what they now play. And it got me realising that there are ingredients. It's so easy to make a new country song. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to make a new country song? Then why not use this Cut and Keep Handy Guide to Country Music? First of all, tell everyone you drive a truck. And if you like, specify which brand.
Big black jacked up truck. That's my truck. I'm talking about trucks. Got a cooler in a truck bed. Long truck bed, hop in it.
Bed of a pickup truck.
I'm gassing up the Chevy. I need Chevy. This Silverado. Silverado candy painted.
Going round and jacked up toys.
So there you go. That's the first ingredient for how to make a modern-day country song and perhaps a lot of money on the back of it. A truck, perhaps a Chevy, or a Silverado, baby. Home, home, wake up. Not sure what that was. Next thing is, well, of course, if you've got a truck, you need to drive it. Now, I suggest driving it possibly just around, maybe a country road or downtown. So that's ingredient number two. You now have a truck and you're driving down a country road. What on earth would you be able to do in that situation? Well, why not pick up a lady? Oh, you saucy bugger.
Steve,
your little hot self over here. Climb up on in here, girl. So get in, let's take a ride. Hey now, girl, hop inside. Get your little fire. Dance on the step, shimmy up inside. Slide that little sugar shaker over here. I got a shotgun seat for you.
Oh, what was that? Was it, did he say side your little shimmy shaker or sugar shaker? Sugar shaker over here. I like the other one as well. Get your little fine ass up on the step and slide on over here. Or did he say scooch? Can you do that again? Just do the whole lot. It's always a bit of a giggle, isn't it?
Your little hot self over here. Climb up on in here, girl. So get in.
Shimmy, right. Slide that little sugar shaker. So if you were listening to the show before this on dating advice, I suggest that one. If you're in a club right now, just pop up to a girl and say, hey, slide that little sugar shaker over here. Hmm? Get your little fine ass up on the step and slide on, shimmy on over. Or anything else sexist for that matter. Now, of course, not just any women. You can't just pick up any old woman. They've got to be the right type. Hmm? Probably wearing, I don't know, blue jeans. They seem to be rather attractive, but not a new pair. What, have you just been to the Gap? This is the country. A nice, rough and ready pair of blue jeans. And the blue jeans, hanging on tight. Blue jeans, you're hanging on. Love the way you're wearing those jeans so tight. A blue jean, baby. Paint it on tight. You cut those jeans just right. Good old jeans. Jeans with a tear that her mama never fixed. That was the last one. She's got blue jeans with a tear that her mama never fixed. So, you're in a Silverado. You're driving down a country road. You've met a girl. Frankly, I find the whole concept of pulling over and just asking some girl to get her little fine ass up on the step and slide on over here is a little bit rapey. Not really something that I'd encourage, but, you know, apparently it's fine in the country world. Now, not just any women. You've got to have slightly torn blue jeans, as previously discussed. And, of course, you wouldn't be intelligent enough to fix your own jeans, being that you are a girl. So, therefore, your mama appears to never have fixed the tear in your blue jeans. Very specific, I would suggest. Now, where can you do all this potential copulating? Well, I would suggest perhaps lying down by a stream. He said about crickets. There's a chorus of crickets. Well, do that first one again, or the second, or whatever. Just do the whole lot. I'm on the ground. Hear the crickets sing a riverside love song. Hear the crickets sing a riverside love song. There's another line for you. Hello, darling. Show us your sugar shaker. Oh, that's a lovely one. Scooch it up on the bench there in the truck. Now, I was thinking about lying down by a stream. I was wondering if you would like to copulate to a chorus of crickets. Would that be something you... Sorry, you're slapping around the face. Oh, I see. Oh, I love it. How to write a new country song. Nearly finished. A few more ingredients. Where would you do this? Well, probably, I would suggest moonlight, wouldn't you? Hit it hard till the sun goes down. When the sun goes down. Soak us up a little moonlight. Soak us up a little moonlight. What? I mean, I'm sort of offended by the English more than anything else. Hey, you want to soak us up a little moonlight? What's that superfluous word us in there? How dare you? Where did you learn your grammar? What on earth do you think you're doing? Get that ridiculous hat off. How dare you? I think we got kicked out of the States, didn't we, actually? I wonder if it's... I wonder if it's partly this sort of attitude. Thanks for pouring that tea in the ocean. Yeah, we didn't want you anyway. Yeah, we wanted the top bit. Yeah, the sexy bit. Canada. Yeah. And we kept it for a while. That sort of didn't hang on. But let's not worry about that. Now then, where are we? We've picked up a woman, or a girl, actually, they seem to refer to her. We've got her fine ass up on the step, and we've slid her over. Sounds terribly wrong. She's not just any woman, of course. She has to be wearing slightly blue jeans. We've learnt that, ideally, you'll be lying on a stream, ideally to do a chorus of congratulatory crickets. And, of course, it will be moonlight, or at least as the sun goes down. Now, of course, we can't possibly do any of this naughty business without a bit of liquid lubrication. Hold me, jar, lemon drop, take a sip. Drinking that ice cold beer. I got that real good, feel good stuff. Good stuff, I stuff in the back seat. Sit on the hood and drink. Got a little drunk last night. Baby, we're drinking. Just getting up and shooting Bacardi. We got 24 tall boys on the chill. Let me go get you something to drink. Got 24 tall boys on the chill. Which, by the way, terrible grammar once again. On the chill? You mean you've got 24 cold beers. If you've just picked up a girl and you're lying by a stream, so let's say you're going halves, that's 12 tall boys each. I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I'm pretty sure that is wrong, diddly wrong, wrong. So much of it's wrong, though. And I think one of them said, we got that good stuff in the bag. What's that? Crack? It's a bit innocuous, isn't it? Good stuff. It's not bud. Have you tried it? Of course, final piece of unwantedly, ridiculously, shamelessly sexism is don't refer to anyone as a woman when you can refer to them as a girl. Hey girl, hey girl, 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 damn pretty girl. You ain't gotta get down with the boys round here, drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running in red dirt roads out kicking up dust. Offensive to the male species, isn't it? Talking about beer and we're talking about trucks. I'm going to write a new one. I'm going to do a parody version to sort of just push the fact that we're not all absolute morons that are looking for sex. You know, we're talking about philosophy, talking about other things like the French Revolution and history in general. Maybe all that genocide in Africa and other things that are kind of depressing, but they're topics that need to be discussed because we care a lot and much. We always talk about ladies, but we're very sensitive, caring people. It was ad lib. I think I need a bit more rhyme, but you get the general idea. So, country music, if you're listening in Ottawa and you used to be a loyal Bob FM listener and you're now listening to Ottawa's New Country, well, you probably won't have heard that, which is probably just as well. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You can download the show as a podcast. VinnieWhite.co.uk is where you can go and get it. You can also subscribe in iTunes so it just pops up for you. And the spelling of Vinnie is a bit weird. V-I-N-N-E-Y, White, if you feel the urge to Google. I'm not sure you'll find anything particularly interesting, but don't underestimate the power of boredom on a Sunday evening. The weather, I don't usually talk about it because, frankly, a little bit boring itself, isn't it? It's very much a British and Canadian pastime to talk about it, but it would appear there is, what are they calling it? A polar vortex with an Arctic blast, otherwise known as a Canadian winter. And this polar vortex thing started happening last year, doesn't it? And so I looked it up. That's when the terminology polar vortex came in. But in actual fact, it's just weather. There's always been cold air that comes down from the Arctic. So you can say it's a polar vortex. It's just the normal wind that sometimes pushes cold air down. So surely a polar vortex is quite normal. I don't mind the name polar vortex, but polar vortex with an Arctic blast. It sounds like a chewing gum. So that's what's sort of been happening, apparently, hence the snow. Now, we've got a fairly lightly here in Toronto, but there is a warning, actually, which we'll get to soon, from the government of Canada. It's not like major concern, you know, batten down the hatches and start running around panicking. It's just that there's probably quite a lot of rain on the way. But we're pretty lucky, really, considering, you know, around the neighbourhood, if you like. Let's go to Buffalo and talk to Russ Courtney. Russ, are you there, mate?
Yes.
Hello, Russ. So Russ has been posted down as our intrepid and wonderful reporter down there. And in the light of the fact that there's certainly a risk of quite intense flooding, what's the general consensus down there? How do things seem to be going?
Well, we're kind of settling into this pattern of uncertainty where we don't really know what to expect. The messages that we've heard from officials here, from local officials, from state officials, is that if you normally see flooding when, you know, the creek gets a little too high, you'll probably see it now. Then they've also said some areas that are not used to flooding may see flooding. They've got over 175,000 sandbags, 3,000 tons of sand, boats, rescue teams, pumps ready to be stationed out and being stationed out in case we do see flooding as the rain comes and as the snow melts. But in terms of any sort of predictions about what we might see, well, the governor of New York State this morning said that he said a prayer and hopes that all this equipment isn't actually needed and hopes they get lucky. So we don't quite know what to expect other than it's probably likely we will see flooding. How widespread that is, that remains to be seen. The people I've talked to seem to be saying, yep, we're making precautions, but we're optimistic that we'll miss the worst of it. Whether that happens or not, again, remains to be seen. I think there's rain expected to fall overnight. The melting continues of this snow, 7 feet of it in some places. And I think when we wake up tomorrow, as the sun comes up, as in Toronto, we sort of start our day, you settle in at work, we'll really get a scope of how much flooding there is if we see it and how bad it is.
So there was so much snow in some parts of Buffalo that the report said that there was actually a whole winter's worth of fell, which is why people were wedged in their homes. The danger, of course, is, yep, that melts. But then, of course, it melts with double the speed when it's raining as well, because you've got the groundwater collecting from everything and it can't run off quick enough. I assume you're, as an intrepid reporter, you've got a hotel room on the ground floor, yeah?
Yes, actually, I do.
Do you really? Oh, you actually do? Okay, that's very good journalism right there. It would be a bit different if you're on floor 15. Are you witnessing anything crazy in the streets? Is there any kind of curfew or anything going on?
No, for the most part, the travel bans that have been in place have been lifted. So it's technically, once again, legal to drive around in these areas. But local officials have put travel advisories in place, basically saying, if you don't have to go out, don't go out. But for the most part, you know, the concerns are, at least at this point, seem to be in areas that are near creeks, that are near rivers, areas in floodplains, areas that would flood when you start to see these sort of situations. So how much more that flooding goes outside of those areas will be interesting. I mean, if it hits, I mean, just like in Toronto, when we see the DVP flood, it's not like the entire city is shut down, but if you start getting flooding in all kinds of areas that don't normally see it, then that's when it causes major, major, major issues. So I think we'll see, and no one really knows what to expect in terms of how much we are going to see, if it's going to be as bad as thought. And also, another factor is when we look at like some of the creeks that I've looked at today, people say, yes, this is high. But the good thing is the river is running. If you have ice that sort of jams up and gets stuck at various points around there, that's when there could be major concern, because when the water has nowhere to go, it completely floods different areas. I spoke to one person who is near, lives near a creek, and probably, you know, if you stand on his front lawn, you look out, across the street is his neighbor's house, and then behind his neighbor's house is the backyard, and then there's the creek, and he's had water in his own front yard. So if there's all kinds of ice building up in there, that could be a problem for him. But if the rivers and the creeks continue to flow, then maybe the flooding won't be as bad as thought. But even today, we've seen that ice building up, and it sort of breaks free. So officials crossing their fingers and hoping that most of that snow and ice does not really build up in those areas.
Russ Courtney in upstate New York in Buffalo, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you.
Stay dry. And have you got a dinghy?
No, which I'm hoping I don't run into trouble with that. But maybe I could hitch a ride, because I know that there are boats. The officials do have boats to rescue people. So if needed to be rescued, maybe I'll hitch a ride.
Attaboy. All right. I'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, Russ Courtney reporting from Buffalo. Now, I should mention that the Government of Canada have put a warning out today. Rain, wind and mild conditions tonight and Monday. But there is a rapidly intensifying disturbance over the southern United States. And the warning says it's setting its sights on Ontario, which is a bit weird because I didn't know weather had consciousness. But that seems to be the case. It will track towards Lake Michigan tonight and across northeastern Ontario tomorrow. Rain at times heavy will arrive this evening, certainly in southwestern Ontario, and quickly spread to other regions overnight. Rainfall amounting to about 3 centimetres, nothing to get too crazy about, expected before it tapers to showers tomorrow morning. So, yeah, you know, some localised flooding possible, particularly if you're out in the burbs and you've got a bit of snow. Winds of moderate and possibly moderate to high magnitude winds may bring a couple of tree limbs down, maybe the odd tree, and cause sporadic power outages. But, OK, let's not all get in a tizzy about this. It's not going to be quite as bad as the old ice storm. Yeah, remember that? Armageddon? Hmm? We all got through it together. When we come back, we talk about more stuff and things. The World's Biggest Liar title has been awarded. We will talk about that. And also, I want to talk about the anglerfish. Yeah. You never really know where it's going to go.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Dear Vinny, I live in the United States of America and I'm fearful about the weather. Thanks for your report. Well, it depends where you are. You know, if you're in Florida, wouldn't worry about it. Get yourself a margarita, baby. I will assume you're in upstate New York. Thank you for listening. Always a pleasure. I like the Yanks. Bonkers country you've got there, though, isn't it? It always surprises me. At least once a week, I find the United States always does something rather weird. There's a guy called Benjamin Solomon. And Benjamin Solomon Carson, I think his full name, Senior. He's an American author and retired neurosurgeon, and he's credited for being a very intelligent chap. The first surgeon to successfully separate conjoined twins joined at the head. And in 2008, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by George W. And after delivering a widely publicised speech in 2013, he became a popular conservative figure in political media, and his views on social and political issues spurring talk of his becoming a Republican candidate for the 2016 presidential
election.
That's
all it takes is one speech.
Yes.
Like Sarah Palin. She had one speech. What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick. That catapulted her for a while, and then it came to an end.
I read actually this week that she said about Obama's reformation of immigration policy that they should get rid of them all and cross the ocean back to Mexico. But apparently it was a hoax, I have to say. Bless. Although you wouldn't put it past her. David Eddy joins me here. Now, well, the reason I bring this up is because I was quite surprised, actually, this week when David Brody, a fairly well-respected journalist, asked this question.
And how is that conversation going with God about this potential presidential run? Has he grabbed you by the collar yet? I read an article about that.
I feel fingers. But, you know, I just, it's mostly me. I have to be sure. And, you know, I have a surgical personality which says, always look before you leap. And don't leap before you have to.
I do cover the presidential campaign trail. May I see you? May I potentially see you there soon?
I think there's a good chance you might.
By collar, he means dot, dot, dot. And I don't understand what he's saying about surgical personality. Does that mean that he
I've never heard that.
Will make incisions on anybody who opposes him.
Well, he's a retired neurosurgeon. Mm. So I think what he's saying is I have the personality of a surgeon.
Ah, I see.
And I would assume that means that someone's quite scientifically minded. But then it's sort of contradicted by the fact that he said, I feel fingers. God's fingers, but it's mostly me. I have to make sure it's the part of my personality that says always look forward before you leap. But what I think annoys me about this is the question is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm so proud that this question wouldn't exist in Canada or the United Kingdom. What is it he says? Play that first bit again. Well-respected journalist says this.
And how is that conversation going with God about this potential presidential run? Has he grabbed you by the collar yet? I read an article about that.
So, what? At what point does it become a reasonable question to go, so how's your chat with God going about your political life? Is that all right?
He's grabbed me by the collar.
I didn't want him to.
I think, do you not sense a little hint of irony there? Is the journalist not being a little bit funny? Or
I hope
do you think
so.
He's being very straightforward?
I really hope so. But the thing is with the States, you just don't know.
That's true.
You know, the journalist.
What state was this in? That'll tell us the story.
The answer to that question is?
Nebraska, Omaha. Anyway, I'm sorry to put you on the spot there, Vinny.
Florida.
Florida. Well, then, may have been a straightforward question.
They are quite bonkers and evangelical down there. Mm-hmm. But that's such a ridiculous question. And also, it's a ridiculous answer. The whole thing's ridiculous. Because they only ask you for like, you wouldn't get a journalist interviewing a convicted rapist or killer say, so tell me, did God tell you to do this? How's your chat with God going? Is that all right? When did that become a reasonable question? It's not a reasonable question. Even if he thinks that God's fingers have told him to run for election in 2016, I would suggest it's the words of a madman. But at what point should a journalist who's paid to be impartial and reasonable, say, so how's your chat with God going? What? When did that become all right?
And it raises the question, what would God's fingers feel like? Would they be very rough and calloused or soft and gentle and kind of tickle you into running for
election? Well, it depends if you've been a good boy recently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear you.
If he's pushing you on the way to hell,
yeah, then they would be quite stern and rough and
they
calloused.
Would. Quite. I want to discuss something with you as a slightly lighter topic. Right. Frankly, almost, I would suggest, more sensible. There is an app that's supposed to prevent you from sending drunk tweets. This was always going to happen.
I invented that verbally at least 20 years ago.
So did I.
A breathalyzer that prevents you from tweeting or emailing somebody. Yes, that's brilliant. That's
indeed
a million-dollar idea.
A drunk text can wreak havoc on a single relationship, but a drunken social media post can ruin hundreds of connections, maybe even thousands if you're particularly popular, or just a tap on your touch screen. Now there's an app to stop you from becoming an inebriated social media nightmare. Drunk Message Blocker will completely shut down your access to social media. No Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram, no Snapchat. It's now the first app designed to protect the smartphone user. But what sets it apart from it, because there are other apps that try to do this, what sets it apart from the first one to stop you from using your social networks, it's incredibly strict. Even if you delete the app from your phone, it will still
it won't
continue
let you do
the
that.
Ban. Yeah. Which is a bit of a trouble if you get stuck down
but
a
how
well.
Does it figure out that you're inebriated? That's the question.
Yeah, right, so this is the thing, and this is where it falls down as well. You have to say, right, I'm in a bar with David Eddy.
No. You have to blow into the thing. You have to blow into the thing.
That's what they should invent, yeah.
Yeah, and if you blow past a certain point, then it won't let you send the text. That's the only way.
Well, yeah, but then what happens when you get drunk and you go to some girl in the bar and go, blow into this for me?
Yeah.
You know?
True.
It's not bulletproof, buddy. The idea is, I think, right, I'm going out with David Eddy tonight. He loves a gin and tonic.
David Eddy, oh, okay, no.
that should
be automatic.
Yeah. I'll press the David Eddy button. Maybe they should
is
read
it
your
past
text.
11 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
No text.
That would be a good one, wouldn't it? You could put all the people, like when you take someone's number, you could put a score on what a boozer they are. So if you then text them and say, hey, Dave, do you want a drink tonight? The phone says, right, I'm going to shut down in an hour.
Well, the thing, I've always enjoyed the company of all my friends because they're a crew, what you might call a band of villains, under the aegis of their company, everything is forgiven. All is forgotten. The next day, there's the usual round of apologies. You phone around. It's if you have those types of friends, then you don't have to worry about having an app like that. Do you know what I mean?
I do. You know, I find they it all slightly get it. Worrying that you've picked your friends and not altered your behavior, but it makes for an easy life.
Yeah. My friends condone my behavior.
Yeah, I'd love to say I didn't understand a word of what you said, but I'm afraid I absolutely do. Yeah. Sorry.
They enable it.
I also, I remember when I was living in England, I was incredibly drunk once. I was walking along the beach and I decided to play a game of, by my own invention, drunk roulette. And I said to myself, I'm going to randomly scoot through my phone without looking, click on someone and just have a chat. Because I'm drunk, so I can't see any reason that they won't be drunk, because obviously we all get drunk together. And I picked a client. I had a little graphic design agency at the time. Picked a client, and he picked up, and he was furious. And it was 3 a.m, and he said, you've ruined my night's sleep. You've woken me up. You've woken my children up, and I've got an important meeting in the morning. I really don't value this, and I think I'm not going to use you as a designer anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. No, it's trouble. It's trouble. It really is trouble. What happens to me is I wake up in the morning and I think, where's my computer? What did I...
Oh, no!
Oh, and if it's out on the front porch with an ashtray with a cigarette butt in it, then I know, oh, man, I have to go check my sent mail. And there are potential problems. Usually, I don't say anything too ridiculous.
Mm.
I'm about the same way, drunk and sober.
Finally, the news of the week that I would like to investigate. The World's Biggest Liar title has been won by a man in, I'm ashamed to say, England. Yep. It's a bit of a weird one, this. It's a pub where they have the world's biggest liar. Apparently, the tradition is because many years ago, the landlord used to be a little bit of a fibber, a little bit of a storyteller. And they have 10 people who all stand up and tell a story of, and some of them are telling the truth, some of them aren't, and you have to try and weed out which one's which. Through a process of rounds, you establish who is the greatest liar. Is that a good title to have?
It's would be good for a game of poker. there was a game we used to play. Everybody puts a card on their forehead and try to fool everybody else into thinking that they had a better card than you did. And everybody knows what your card is. Mm. Nobody knows what everybody else's card is. And the biggest liar kind of wins. I don't know. I don't know, Vinny. I'm not a liar.
Apparently, usually. I quite like the fact that in the rule book, you're not allowed to enter if you are a realtor or a lawyer, because that's what you do for a living until you have an advantage. Is it wrong?
It's like that Jim Carrey movie, Liar, Liar. Have you ever seen?
Yeah,
you know that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, my dad's a liar. Don't you mean lawyer, son? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Where is Mr. Keenan? Is he coming up next?
I think he might be enjoying the indulgence of a cigarette, which is one of the only vices that he does actually enjoy.
I see. Naughty, naughty man. Us. You're giving away his trade secrets now. He's next.
He mentions it. He talks about it.
Oh, does
he doesn't mind people saying that he's a
actually,
smoker.
I've heard a
he's
show.
A smoker.
You
he won't touch
it.
A drop of drink. But, you know, everybody needs a reward for working hard, and his is he has the old smoke.
And he is coming up next with his rather gravelly and some would say dashingly sexy tones.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man himself that you've just heard a snippet of, David Eddy, is after that. My name is Vinnie White. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Les. It's an honour to be on your show.
Pleasure. And for you listening, wherever you are, always a pleasure, never a chore. Bye.